HealthMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Royson, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This section is spectacular, or promises to be, because we've got Garth Davis, a bariatric surgeon. Garth, where are you from?
I'm from Houston, Texas.
And where did you grow up? Have you always been in Texas?
I've always been a Texan. I was actually born in South Africa, grew up in Texas, did my surgery training up in Michigan, but then came back home.
And the book is called Proteinaholic, which has a, it's not protein that's bad per se, but certain kinds of protein that are bad. Or is it all protein, Garth?
I kind of came at this conclusion after years of research, and that the book's filled with research. And the research does tend to blame animal protein more than protein in general. But part of my goal of the book was, because there's a lot of vegetarians and vegans that don't eat, you know, animal protein, but they still constantly worry about protein. So they drink the protein shakes and the protein bars, and they're getting away from what the real source of health is, which is the actual fruits and vegetables. So the book was somewhat written to allay fears that you need these excess amounts of protein that are typically given, typically recommended by doctors.
So in the book, you talk about the average diet has about 102 grams of protein a day in it, as I remember from chapters. I can't remember where it was in the book. The book is loaded with facts, interestingly, and I mean, well written, so you should feel really proud of it. But I do remember that the average, I think it was American, gets 102 grams of protein a day. How much do we need?
Well, if you look at the RDA was arrived at it with some really good studies, actually. And I talk
so
about
RDA is
the recommended daily allowance.
Recommended daily amount.
Yeah. And the recommended daily allowance that we use in America is 0.8 grams per kilogram of lean body weight, not you know, your weight when you step on a scale, but actually what your muscle weighs. And that amounts to, for a woman, about 46 grams of protein a day, and for a man, 56 grams of protein a day. Now, what you got to remember about that number, that is not the minimum number of protein you need. That is probably the optimal number of protein, amount of protein that you need. That was based on taking what the average amount of protein would be needed to not go catabolic, and then do two standard deviations above, meaning they wanted to make sure that whatever they recommended would be enough protein for no problems in 98% of Americans. And
we're getting about twice as much protein
exactly
as we needed. We're talking with Dr. Garth Davis, a bariatric surgeon from Houston, Texas, who's talking about the book Proteinaholic and the information in it. And so we get a little too much protein. And tell me what, if you will, why is that bad for us?
Why is that bad? Right. Well, I mean, there's two kind of reasons that it's bad for you. Number one, the number one thing we doctors tell patients is eat your protein first. This is, and dietitians and all kinds of stuff. And so when my patients are going constantly looking for protein, I mean, we eat, you know, like you said, double the amount of protein, but people still think they need even more protein, as if they, you know, went three times the recommended daily value, that would be somehow be better. In eating all this protein, they're eating lots of fake proteins and then lots of meat, because in America, protein usually just translates to meat. And then they're not eating the things that they should be eating, the fruits and the vegetables and the beans. I tell people to eat an apple for a snack, and I look at their food logs when they come back, and there's a protein shake in the snack section. I'm like, why a protein shake? Well, I thought I needed more protein. There's no protein in an apple, so the apple isn't eaten. But then there's some intrinsically bad things that happen with excess protein consumption, especially animal protein consumption. And that is that with animal proteins, there's quite a bit of sulfonic acid amino acids that create acidosis in the blood. They do stimulate IGF-1, which has been very correlated with cancer. It also comes, animal protein is loaded with heme iron, and the heme iron is infamous for oxidizing fats and causing damage to beta cells. It increases C-reactive protein, increases inflammatory mediators, it creates N-nitroso compounds. I mean, I could go on and on and on.
So there's some problems with the animal protein.
Right.
How about vegetable, or, in other words, I found that peas have a lot. I eat peas, yeah, believe it or not, as a major part of my diet, as well as other things like walnuts.
Right.
Is there a problem with getting too much vegetable protein?
There has been no studies that I saw that showed that. Now, one of the things we were worried about was IGF-1. And so there was concern that soy and some of the other complete...
So IGF-1, let's say it stands for insulin growth factor 1.
Right.
And what it does is it's increased when you have protein. And does it increase with vegetable protein as well as animal protein?
It does in certain vegetable proteins that are more complete amino acids like soy. But the interesting thing was, so this created a big scare and said, well, maybe, you know, we're eating too much animal protein. But a lot of the proteins you get with high IGF-1, which is like colon cancer and prostate cancer, didn't seem to be occurring in vegetarians or vegans, and in fact was lower than the average person. And what they found is that the soy protein does increase IGF-1, but it also increases IGF-1 binding protein, so a protein that kind of blocks the effect of IGF-1. And so I think that dual effect plus the, you know, antioxidants that come with foods that have plant protein in them seems to take away any negative risk factor. So to answer your question simply, no, I don't think there's any problem with plant proteins at all.
And now this book, you wrote this book really in, in response to both your feeling that people were eating too much protein, but in addition to, you're a bariatric surgeon. So is this a problem of that people gain weight because of too much protein?
Yeah, you know, I see patients coming to see me, you know, for years. And actually, I wrote a book before where I told people to eat a lot of protein because that's kind of what we were learned in bariatrics without much study of the actual effects of protein in the diet. And so I told people to eat protein, but I see people coming in and they're gaining weight. And I'm like, what are you eating? Well, I'm eating chicken. I eat, you know, 2 to 3 chicken breasts a day. I have eggs. It's just constant, you know, almost sounds like the list of a slaughterhouse. And that's what they're eating every day. And they're sick and they're overweight. And it's true of the country in general. If you look at, our protein consumption compared to the rest of the world and our health compared to the rest of the world. And in fact, the EPIC study, which is this huge study done in Europe where they followed 500,000 people for 12 years and have really looked at diet and how it affects weight, and found that the more animal protein people eat, the more weight they gain. And in fact, chicken was the most associated with weight gain in those studies. And chicken,
in fact, that's what Julia L. has just emailed us and asked. And by the way, anyone can ask us questions. Call in 844-305-7800 or email at gmail at udocs, UDOCS at gmail.com. Julia emailed in and said, what about, Dr. Mike, you like salmon and chicken? Why is that bad, too? Is salmon bad and is chicken bad?
Chicken seems to be pretty bad. So with chicken, we're seeing high rates of estrogen being present in the chicken, and that's certainly, I talk about this a bit in the book, but causes precocious puberty in kids and can contribute to lymphoma and certainly breast cancer. Fish has not looked so bad, and there's a lot of debates over why it has not looked so bad. The omega-3s in fish may be the big part of that. I will tell you that farmed fish don't seem to have the same effects as like wild Atlantic salmon, because in the farmed fish, they're not eating the algae that creates this omega-3. The only problem I see with fish is that, and I put my patients, I have them eat fish, but I try to really limit it to twice a week. The reason being that I'm seeing a lot of heavy metal with them. I'm seeing mercury levels rising quite a bit in patients that are eating a lot of fish because of the contamination.
Yes, Dr. Davis. So I should say that the good news about salmon and ocean trout is they haven't learned to eat corn or soy meal, so even farmed ones get a lot of the much healthier algae, but only those two fish. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show with Dr. Garth Davis, D-A-V-I-S, proteinaholic. Our obsession with meat is killing us, and what we...
miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And we've been talking with Garth Davis, who's a bariatric, that means obesity-relating surgeon, in Houston, Texas. The book is Proteinaholic. You can get a preview, sneak preview, at proteinaholic.com or on amazon.com. And, of course, there actually is a Dr. Garth Davis writes a Facebook blog every day at Dr. D.R. Garth, G-A-R-T-H, no punctuation, at Facebook. Dr. Garth at Facebook. So, Dr. Davis, if we have been doing too much, or even how much is, by the way, how much is too much animal fat? Should we cut it out totally?
If you look at the studies, and I go through this in the book, the people that live the longest and the people that seem to have the healthiest lives do tend to be the vegans. And in fact, if you look at the Seventh Day Adventists, where they have the highest rate of veganism, and you compare their vegans versus their vegetarians versus their sometimes meat eaters, the vegans do considerably better in cardiac health and long-term longevity. So ideally, as little as you can tolerate, but a little bit from time to time. I mean, I think The WHO had some labeled meat as a carcinogen, but said, you know, you can have a little bit once a day, but much less than what we're eating right now. I think the problem is that when you look at the data, we eat, you know, we're really focusing on protein, like I said, and we eat about 45% of our calories from animal products. If you look around the world, and then about another 45% of what we eat or more is processed carbs. And so we're only getting about 5 to 8% of our calories from fruits and vegetables. And what my real goal is not necessarily to turn people vegetarian or vegan, but to get them to change the way they look at their plate and to understand that the healthiest cultures in the world eat 80% of their calories from fruits or vegetables, and that's what we need to be doing. Instead of eating meat at every single meal and instead of making meat the star of the plate, meat should be a side dish, a once-in-a-while meal. And really the bulk of food should come from grains, fruits, vegetables, nuts, beans, and seeds.
Now, someone named Lee Lang has written us and said, what about grains that have a lot of protein, like quinoa?
I think those are great.
Not healthy?
No, it actually is very healthy. And what we found is that in grains like quinoa and a lot of the plant-based proteins, they have a different amino acid pattern. And they tend not to have certain amino acids that we've now associated with disease process, such as leucine, alanine, and methionine. And these amino acids that they have in surplus, plant foods have in a low amount, which it tends to be the exact right amount. So I find that the quinoa-based proteins and grain-based proteins are an excellent source of protein. But again, what I don't want people doing is counting protein grams. I mean, I tell my patients, just forget counting the number of protein grams you're getting. Eat a varied fruit and vegetable diet, because as soon as they start questioning the protein and start changing their diet to try to address protein, they tend to start making bad food choices.
And so animal food is bad food choices. What else is saturated fat, for instance?
Yeah,
the question always comes out, what about coconut oil or palm oil?
Yeah, you know, I tell patients, so saturated fat has definitely been a problem. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, media hype, but it's certainly not substantiated in the research about saturated fat. Coconut oil is a little bit different because the saturated fat tends to be more of a lauric acid and stearic acid, which aren't as damaging or don't raise cholesterol as much as the palmitic acid you get from the typical animal meats. Here's my thing with coconut oil. All oils are very, very calorie dense. So in my population, where I'm dealing with people that are overweight, I say cut out oil. It's not necessary. It's a processed food, and it's very high in calories. If you're not struggling to lose weight or if you even want to gain weight, oils are fine, but use them in moderation. Don't overdo them. And if you're using coconut oil, I wouldn't use coconut oil if you actually had heart disease or high cholesterol, because it will contribute to high cholesterol.
Now, so give us a typical day of food that you would have.
Sure.
You yourself.
I've got two main breakfasts, or three main breakfasts that I'll do. I either do oatmeal with berries and some ground flaxseed, or I'll do muesli, which is a cereal with, you know, different grains and raw oats, with an almond milk. Or I'll do I use toasted Ezekiel bread with almond butter and strawberries. And then usually I also add like a grapefruit or an orange. For lunch, I typically have pretty heavy on the beans and salad. So I usually go to the salad bar and put chickpeas, maybe get a soup or a potato and load that up with vegetables and beans. My snack and my midday tends to be like an apple and some almonds or walnuts. That's my kind of favorite snack, but I also do hummus and carrots and things like that. And then dinner, we get a little bit different with dinner. I mean, the other night we did lentil tacos, or we did cabbage wrapped bean and potatoes and different salads. So we get a little bit. I do a lot of pastas with, you know, a whole grain pasta with primavera with red sauce, or kind of a Mexican beans and rice and
so salsa. It's basically you're having vegetables and some whole grains.
Yes.
And a little bit of healthy, of non-fat containing sauces on them.
Yes. And so at the end of the day, I like to think to myself, did I get a whole fruit in there at some point, like an apple, an orange, a banana? Did I get berries in? Did I get in a handful of nuts in? Did I get a lot? I don't like counting anything, but if anyone's going to count anything, to me, it's fiber. I want to get over 35 grams of fiber a day.
And now, are there, now you say, what about who needs extra protein? Do athletes need extra protein, or does someone who's got had a gastric bypass, for example, need extra protein?
So the gastric bypass definitely do not need extra protein. The gastric bypass is not a protein malabsorbing surgery. You absorb protein just fine. So I tell my gastric bypass patients the same thing I tell everybody else. So we just don't worry about protein. Eat these foods that I tell you about. You'll get enough protein. Athletes do need more protein. How much more they need is very, very complicated and hard to tell because there's so much variance between people and sport. It tends to look like endurance athletes need the most protein, not bodybuilders, interestingly enough. But the studies are fairly clear that extra amount of protein they need is not much more than what we're already getting. So it tends to be 1 gram per kilogram lean body weight a day instead of the 0.8. Probably Great. Takes care of 95% of athletes.
We've been talking with Garth Davis, D-A-V-I-S, author of Proteinaholic. You can go to proteinaholic.com. And get this book. It's a wonderful book and some great recipes in the back. Garth Davis, thanks very much. We've been listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD.